Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz. Well, hello everyone. With me today, I have Ottavio Santana. Ottavio, it's so great to have you here. You know, I've heard so much about you, you know, that you're a Java champion and all, and you know, that you've been working on things in the Cassandra community since the beginning. So, hey, welcome to the show.
Oh, Aaron, thank you to be here. It's a pleasure to stay here, especially to see how grow Cassandra is right now. So I'm still around Cassandra, but I'm right now working another product that's still a little baby.
Well, hey, why don't you start out by telling us a little about yourself?
Okay. Ottavio from Brazil. So I was born in Salvador City, a lovely city in the coast, in the north, in Brazil. Right now, I'm living in Portugal, Europe, especially because the conference, the meetings, this kind of thing.
Okay.
People usually don't understand why did I move to Portugal, but if you go to the geography, you're going to see that Portugal is the middle. It's exactly between US and Europe.
Oh, sure.
And nearby Brazil as well. So
right.
Also the time zone. That's amazing. Right now, I'm working as a distinguished engineer at Zoop Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Zoop Innovation is a company who provides innovation around technology and digital transformation to companies. We have two brands. One is to outsourcing and consulting. Another one is to create and build products around those issues of the companies, especially focus more on developer experience.
Oh, sure.
If you look at the website right now, you're able to see 4 open source products mainly focus on cloud experience. Besides that, I love and do open source a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the Java community as an active member since Java 8. So if you enjoy Java 8, I'm glad that we enjoy. If you don't, sorry. I tried my best.
Hey, as a Cassandra user, I got so many years out of Java 8, you know. that's my most used JDK for sure. So yeah. So thank you.
Indeed. Java 8 become our enemy because right now nobody wants to move to 11, 17.
Right.
And besides Java, I do a lot of open source in the Apache Eclipse committer, especially around Java and data. So that's why I helped several open source products that include database such as Cassandra.
Well, cool. Hey, so I got to ask, years ago when I was much younger, I used to do some Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I've known a few people who came from Brazil and all of them were like into jiu-jitsu and surfing. Do you do one of those too?
Unfortunately not. I'm a bad Brazilian. I'm not able to play soccer. I'm not able to do jiu-jitsu. And I'm a terrible dancer as well.
I'm a terrible dancer too, yeah.
But I enjoy a lot picanha. That's the bias meat of the call to do barbecue.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy a lot Brazilian barbecue. It's one thing that you must try. So if you don't, just do it. And as a programmer, I'm a terrible programmer as well because instead of coffee, I enjoy more coconut water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. So, hey, Ottavio, I was looking around your, you know, some of the projects you've done, and I found this one from the early days of Cassandra called Easy Cassandra. Can you tell us how that one came about? Yeah.
Yeah, it was my first contribution with Cassandra.
Right.
At that time, Cassandra had a communication with Thrift.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was so unstable. So, as a young product, the Thrift communication changed too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit dangerous to put your application directly to Drift.
Right, right.
Because every single time that the Drift communication change, you need to change as well.
That's right.
Based
right.
on that, I started the Easy Cassandra. The idea was to be an API between Cassandra and the Java application. And that time, I remember it was the first mapper to Cassandra at that time.
Oh, wow.
And it was also the first NoSQL integration with Java at that time. But
wow,
it was fun. It was fun because of that, we right now can see several mapper to NoSQL database. It was amazing to do the kind of experience. Also, we tried several things with Reflection and Invoke Dynamic to improve performance. And we helped a lot to increase the adoption in Cassandra and Java, especially because, you know, Java enterprise company who is afraid to have a lock-in. And
this
Cassandra allow us to avoid that with this API. So, okay, yeah, I went to get away. So Easy Cassandra on that time had integration between AGB and Spring.
Sure.
So if you don't want to use both, okay. You are able to eliminate this API and move to another stuff, but it's still using Spring or AGB.
Oh, sure.
It was great because at that time I saw several Brazilian companies who decided to start with Cassandra. And then I could see some US companies that I don't remember right now doing some questions around Easy Cassandra and integration like that. And we was able to give feedbacks about the new communication language that was CQL, Cassandra Query Language at that time.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
yes, based on that API. So, and then the Easy Cassandra became dedicated, especially because Spring Data had the Spring Data NoSQL with Cassandra. DataStax created a new one, focus more on Cassandra, and it was great to become part of history to one of the first mapper to NoSQL database.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty cool. I remember that time too about when CQL was brand new and it was like Cassandra 1.1 or 1.2 or something like that. But you're right, before that it was only Thrift. And I think the two drivers that I used before that, I didn't use Easy Cassandra, but I used Hector, and then Astyanax was the other one. That was Netflix's, I think, at the time.
Oh, yeah, yes.
But yeah, that's cool. So, of course, that leads into the work you're kind of doing today around JNoSQL, right? You know, if we draw a line, you know, over 10 years.
The idea of JNoSQL was to... I still avoiding vendor lock-in around Java developers. So the idea is to create a specification around vendors in Java. These ways I am able to choose NoSQLs if that impact my API or my enterprise application.
Oh, nice.
We have four APIs, one to each NoSQL database type. So wide colon, like Cassandra, key value, document, and graph database initially.
Okay.
And think about. So I'm using, for example, Cassandra or HBase, for example, and move to Cassandra. Once both are column family type or wide column, you are able to only change the driver and make it possible. Of course, as indecision, it has trade-off, right? And when you talk about a specification, that means we're able to use only the standard behavior. If I want to use anything more specific, like what Cassandra does that HBase doesn't, for example, Cassandra has secondary index.
Right.
JNoSQL has plugins to make it possible.
Oh, okay.
When you do that, you're not able to return to HBase, for example. Because these particular behaviors belongs only to Cassandra.
Right.
So it has the common APIs, it's extensible. However, when you do use that, you're not able to do a rollback easily, at least.
Right, right. No, that's true. That's true. You know, that's really cool that, you know, it works with multiple different types of NoSQL data stores. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of work out there, you know, on that problem of abstracting that data source away from the developer. And it sounds like JNoSQL really goes very far in accomplishing that.
Yes, the idea is to try to popularize even more the NoSQL database.
Mm-hmm.
It includes Cassandra, of course.
Yeah.
Engage more people to look around, to have a common behaviors and specifications and standards and documents and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest strength around SQL, for example, is because they have a standard, right?
Right,
and
right.
It's pretty easy to me, okay, I have no idea about NoSQL I'm going to use, but I know if I put select star from table, it will return the whole information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't have this kind of common behavior on NoSQL database.
Right, right.
And sometimes I want to do exactly the same thing in two different databases. And I need to read the whole documentations.
Mm-hmm,
I need to import mm-hmm. different APIs. I need to learn to do exactly something. The idea is, instead of learn new things, to do the basic stuff, like the CRUD operation, right? Create, return, update, and delete.
Right, right.
The common API.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's super cool. You know, actually, is there a recommended JDK for JNoSQL?
Right now, I guess the whole enterprise world is living in Java 8.
Java 8, okay. Okay.
But right now, we are creating several campaigns to move people to Java 11 and 17.
Okay, okay.
But please, move on. Java 11, Java 17, maybe Java 21 someday. So
oh, right, yeah.
Java 8, there are several improvements in performance. There are several APIs that make your life easier, like records, your class, and, you know, several customization, because right now everybody is using Java with container, right?
Right, right.
And if you use Java 11 and Java 17, you got more improvements on JVM to use
sure.
than with Java 8. So besides security, there are various updates from CVE that was updated to Java 11 or 17, but it wasn't updated in Java 8.
Oh, okay. No, that's super important. Yeah, yeah. No, I know there are a lot of folks out there who are, you know, like I said, still running older versions of Cassandra. And you know that they can't be on anything higher than Java 8. So that, you know, pointing out the fact that some of those CVEs can't be retroed back into Java 8, that's super important for folks to, like you said, move on and start working toward Java 11. Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yes, and especially when talk about data, if you move to Java 17, there is a new approach from the Java world that is data programming level or data-oriented programming, where we're able to focus more on data instead of objects, right? Especially when talk about...
Are you talking about records?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I read a little bit about that. Oh, if you could tell us a little bit about how those work, that'd be awesome.
Yes, Brian Goetz wrote an entire article around this idea. So think about, usually what you want to do the design where the entity is immutable.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to, for example, create entities really only, for example, to read information or DTOs.
Yep, yep.
You were able to use that with Java 17 with records. You were able to define the class who will extend this interface with seed class.
Okay.
Right now we're talking about a new level of designing program with that data.
Right, right.
Because we usually have several documents, articles, posts around enterprise application, right? We have design partners, we have Goff or Gunga 4. We have several articles about strategy of microservice, CQRS, and things like this. How to keep my application moving on with evolutionary way. But we don't talk too much about data.
Right, right. No, that's true. That's true.
We have several articles about refactoring code, but you don't have several articles around refactoring data, right?
Oh, that's an excellent point. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And usually, it's more expensive to refactoring data than code.
No, for sure, for sure.
And the idea of data programming is to put more light on that area that sometimes we forget.
Okay.
Site.
So that actually. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that actually leads to another thing that I was going to ask you about. Around the data spec around Jakarta data. Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot to say about that too.
Oh yes, the idea is exactly to cover this kind of pattern as one single place.
Mm-hmm.
So. As I mentioned before, we have 24 partners from Goff.
Yep.
We have several principles or oriented object like solids, keep it simple, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have too much design partners between Java or any program language with data.
Okay.
The idea of this is to centralize a blueprint or specification in a single place. That is Jakarta data. So I want to explore, for example, repository. It belongs to GDD, right? So the idea is to use this approach to make it possible to explore this way. So I have a repository. We have several frameworks in Java, around Java, like Spring Data, Quarkus, Micronauts, who do exact something. So the idea is to standardize in one single way to, use that interface. It doesn't matter who you implement that.
Right, right.
And we have even more partners like CQRS, Common Query, and we have event-driven design. The whole point is, let's centralize those specification and blueprint in one single place to have more documentations, have more ideas, strategies, especially because we want to focus on our code, especially when you think about GDD, right? Ambiguous language, the code design close to the business.
Mm-hmm.
We want to isolate doing something like clean architecture, my business from my technology. So this way I'm able to take advantage of the technology if without impact my business itself.
Right.
And the last step, it's the most important one, is to have performance on that application.
Oh, for sure.
So we want our code to be closer to the business, isolate, and also to take advantage of the database. The idea is to use this specification to put everything, our ideas, on that single place. That's why we invited several companies, several solutions around Java in data, like Spring Data, like Micronauts data, Quarkus, and so on.
Right. Wow, that's super cool.
Yeah, that's a super cool, especially because of the integration, right? And and we hopefully were able to make even more popular NoSQL database, such as Cassandra, and even microservice, right? So explore this kind of thing.
Well, that's awesome. So I have to tell you, I'm going to deviate from the script a little bit here. I was watching one of your videos on YouTube that you had, and you were talking about encapsulation and in creating a POJO, but not going ahead and creating all of your getters and setters. But you had a better way to go about that. I would love to know more about that, because I'll tell you, when I create a POJO, creating my getters and setters is like the first thing I do.
Oh, that's a good point. So, come on. I like the way of the bar conversation. So, if you have any question, just move on. Don't worry. Yes, usually it's the biggest trick around design, code design, right? Because when you put private and then getters, setters. But if you go think twice, what's the difference between put a private with getter and setter, or put directly the field as a public?
As a public, yeah.
There's no difference.
Right.
You just put more complexity to your leak of encapsulation. That is it. You just make it more complex. And sometimes this small issue might impact the whole application, especially with the consistency of the data. I remember sometimes where a user pulled the setter of the ID public, and for some reason, a newcomer in the company decided to set and put a new ID on Cassandra. And instead of replace, we put several new IDs.
That's right. That's
And then the
right.
client requested, "Hey guys, we have duplicated orders." And as usual, the developers start to blame the Cassandra. That's the
Yeah,
rule
I've
number
seen
one,
that
right?
before.
If there is an issue inside my code, blame somebody else. Why not? And then we checked once and checked twice, and then okay, Cassandra's not doing anything wrong here. And we checked that the number of the requests that we received was the number of operations that we did. And then request you to put some logs inside the operation of the application side. And guess what?
And what'd you find?
Somebody was setting the new ID. Nobody knows why. And Cassandra did what they supposed to do, right? So it's a new ID, so I will insert instead of update. And the issue was exactly to make the database constant again. It was silly and small mistake, the encapsulation. And right now I'm working at a company, it's a huge company. I'm talking about 2,000 engineers.
That is big.
And a small weakness like this might result in a huge impact in the
Oh,
whole
for sure.
organization. Two weeks ago, I read an article around the company who bankrupt in 45 minutes.
Really?
And yes.
Wow.
And we usually think, okay, it was like a huge mistake, and it was a huge complexity. And indeed, the issue was a silly documentation. Somebody forget to put documentation about some feature. They just comment the feature that nobody understood why. They comment that kind of thing. They decided to refactoring and then put in production. They tested in development, it was okay. They tested on stage, it was okay. And they just find out on production. It was the issue on the documentation. And it happened the whole time with code design. That's why I usually say that encapsulation is the key of a good design of code. Okay, if you're able to hide, put private, like the FX Java said, go for it. It guarantees security, consistency, and avoid mistake. A bulletproof code is a good code.
Oh, absolutely.
I usually love the analogy between a coder and a musician.
Oh,
I don't know if
sure.
you're familiar with O Oscar Peterson. He's a brass pianist that I have saw in my whole life. He's make When you look he's playing piano, it looks like a simple way. It's so smooth, but indeed It looks like he has like 20 hands playing piano.
Right.
And
right.
for me, that's a power to become a good senior engineer or staff sure. engineer or whatever. Make the huge complexity something really, really simple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I'm able to take my auntie, a hey junior, hey early career person,
mm-hmm, right,
take a look
right.
at this code. And if this person is not able to do any kind of mistake on your code, you are a good coder design. Otherwise, like public credit center, who should I blame? The senior or the junior?
Right, right. right. Yeah, because the junior learned from somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hey, Ottavio, I just want to say it's been great having you on the show. You know, I love talking about Cassandra, but I love talking about Java as well. And I mean, we covered a whole bunch, you know, like, you know, from Java yes. to Jano SQL to Easy Cassandra and, you know, Jakarta Data. I'm just, yes. yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, it was my pleasure. So, Aaron, and see you around, right? Community
oh, yeah.
conference, Twitter, this kind of thing.
Of course, of course. All right. Thank you so much. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.